Only one for Christmas is divorce.
Keep asking, you'll get one.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Happy New Year! This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about our favorite parts of 2012 and what we're looking forward to in 2013. Yes, I say 2013, for fuck's sake.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. It's our New Year's show.
Happy New Year.
Welcome to 2013. You're ushering it in right with us. I am Molly Glover, and I'm joined by Tim Wick.
That's me.
And my husband, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And we are here to talk about New Year's.
Yeah.
And old years.
And old years, yes. It's a year in review. So goodbye 2012. Hello 2013. By the way, that's how we're saying it now.
2013.
Fuck you, Nick. No. 2013, everybody, get on board. No one said 1,919. 1919, right? 2013.
Right.
Time to get on board. 2013.
So when did this switch over?
2009 was the last 2000 year. 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013.
Okay.
That is the way to do it.
We must say it that way.
I agree. I think yes.
If we say 2013,
it makes her furious.
Well, no, it makes us sound old. That's the thing. We sound like, because I'll tell you right now, nobody who actually was born since the year 2000 is going to ever say 2014.
Let me get a mimeograph. Yeah.
And we're going to have, you're going to want to switch when we get to 2020 anyway, right? That's when it's, might as well start switching.
So we're early adopter.
Yeah.
What you're saying right now. If we go into the 2013,
yes.
If we say 2013.
No one even said 1920.
No.
We want it, no one said 1919. No one said that.
1999.
How do you know that?
Because.
Were you there?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
My Methuselah life.
Yes. Yes. I am super old.
You look really good
your
age.
Thank you. For my age, I do. For my not my actual age, horrible. like a used up sack. All right. So. So 2012.
Yeah.
Year in review.
2012.
Oh my God. So the first thing that I think we should talk about is let's talk about our year.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Year 2012.
This is our 26th episode.
Sum up. This is our 26th episode.
So halfway. This is our 6 month episode.
Yeah.
So obviously for all three of us, a big and amazing and awesome thing in 2012 was the beginning of Geeks Without God.
I don't know about amazing or awesome.
You know what?
It was all right. You guys are okay.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I know, right?
Ugh, yeah.
He's the worst. let's just talk about, we'll start with Nick. Let's just talk about what good things happened, what bad things happened. Just, you know, I'm saying is keep it short.
It was a good year. A new job with a big raise, and
right.
The comedy stuff is going well. The podcast, the Fearless Comedy Productions that we're helping found,
yes.
and becoming
a
part of.
Which is a big 2013 thing.
If this episode
is
our New Year episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a party coming up for that people should check out.
We'll talk about that.
I mean, it's all been an uphill year. Like, the past years, few years are. To be super sappy, I could say, since Molly and I got married, our life has been better and better every year.
It's true. I like to say that somewhere there's an attic with a portrait of our life in it, and that portrait just keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
Literary reference.
Yeah.
You'll have to come up with that on your own. We're not going to fill you in.
Read a book.
If you're listening to this podcast, you should be a geek and you should have gotten that.
If you don't know what that is, fuck you.
Yeah.
I mean...
Is there anything specific? How about one thing? Can you boil it down to one thing that was awesome about 2012 or 2012?
No.
See,
I don't know about 2012, but I do have some things to say about 2012. I didn't even say 2012. I said 2012. I added a whole another word.
Just all sorts of extra syllables.
I don't know. Boy.
This is good radio.
Yeah, I can't think of anything specific. I guess, we got a new car, too, that I like driving. That is my first new car. ever.
Like brand new, like brand new car, small car.
It had 200 miles on it when we got it.
Yeah. We got it used.
It didn't have license plates on it. That's a new car.
We got it used. So somebody
bought it and was like, I don't like this shit.
They returned it within that window of time where you can have, you know,
remorse. No. It was old enough to be used.
Yep.
And
it had a previous owner, therefore we got it used price. But I had a great year.
You did.
Tim?
I agree.
Okay, well, the cool thing, we talked about Butnumathon a few weeks ago, and I'm just going to say there was all sorts of cool shit that happened this year, but one of the coolest things is when we went to Butnumathon this year, one of the things we saw was something called Raiders of the Lost Ark, the adaptation.
Yeah.
And they were screening it the night before. Now, this was a movie that they showed 10 years ago during a breakfast break at Butnumathon, and what it was is this movie by a bunch of kids, well, two kids in particular. One of them, like, Eric Zala and Chris. I can't pronounce Chris's last name, so I'm not going to try. But
like the two kids are younger.
Well, no, they were 13 and 12 when they started.
Oh, wow.
And they spent 7 summers making a shot-for-shot remake of Raiders of the Lost Ark to the point where when they have to do like the truck turning over in the market scene, they couldn't make a truck turn over, but they did drive a truck into a tree and set it on fire. So they nearly burned their mom's house down to do the scene in the bar where the bar gets set on
fire. Yeah.
Because they're like doing it in their mom's Eric's mom's basement. They just the most insanely amazing shit that these kids did.
And they didn't order, I heard. It's like they're growing up on camera.
They are growing up on camera. So they start.
They shot it in sequential order?
I don't think it was totally in sequential order. It does, but pretty close.
Wow.
And you know, they started it in the early 80s, so they didn't have any videotapes or anything like that. So what they were doing was, you know, just sneaking into the theater and getting like audio tapes of the movie so they could hear what the sound effects were like and stuff.
Wow.
And anyway, we saw part of this at Butnumathon, and it was just. And it was playing in the background, and it was this amazing thing. You got to keep in mind, all right, we're at Butnumathon. We just watched actually two films that went over horribly. We know there's one movie left, and we all know because of when Butnumathon was happening, the next movie is The Two Towers. We're about to watch a premiere of The Two Towers. Oh. We know that's what's coming next.
Is that really 10 years ago?
Yes.
Man.
So we're about to watch The Two Towers. We know The Two Towers is coming next. We are taking a breakfast break. This thing is playing on the screen in the background, and slowly we are all noticing what's going on the screen. Awesome. That it's this remake of Raiders of the Lost Ark by a couple of teenagers. And we reach the point where they're like in the Well of the Souls, and Indy is checking his little book, and we're all, literally, everybody I'm with is all like, snap the rubber band. Because when he closes the book, he snaps the rubber band. Yeah. We're like, snap the rubber band. And he closes the book and he snaps the rubber band. And we're like, yeah! We're like, that's what you do if you're going to do a remake of Raiders of the Lost Ark. So we're watching this, and then we reach a point where it's like, we got to go to the next movie. And they turn it off. They turn it off before you get to the submarine. And we're like, how did they do the submarine? Yeah. How did they do the face melting? How did they do all that?
All these questions unanswered.
And we didn't know. And so now we're all disappointed because what we have to do is sit down and watch a premiere of The Two Towers.
That's amazing.
Fuck you, Peter Jackson.
So that happens 10 years ago. This year we go to Butnumathon. The night before Butnumathon, the guys who did this movie, because of Butnumathon, this movie basically got discovered and has gotten huge. They've met Steven Spielberg, who's seen it it's fucking awesome.
That's amazing.
And they just published a book, which I totally bought because fucking am. Right. Was it Raiders of the Lost Ark nerd?
Of course you did.
So we go and see the movie and we do a question and answer session with them. We go out to him afterwards. I give him the book to sign and I say, you know, you got to know, I don't think that I'm the biggest Raiders of the Lost Ark geek or anything like that, but my online name is Pet Snake Reggie. They both knew what that meant.
That's awesome.
It was like, of course they knew what that meant. Great. That was the greatest thing. You could say that. They're like, oh yeah. Yeah. Cool. But then the super cool thing is the guys, their film started at Butnumathon. That's where it had its debut. And it turned out they weren't planning on going to Butnumathon, but they were in town for the weekend. So they got to go to Butnumathon, and they sat in our row. So we got to hang with them the entire festival.
Super cool.
You know, and it's kind of cool when, you know, and these guys were just guys. They're just fans like us, right?
Yeah.
They're just fans who did the fucking coolest thing ever for somebody.
As kids.
Yeah, as kids. But so, you know, you start by hanging with them and asking them all sorts of questions about this thing that they did that you think is so cool. And by the end of it, you know, you're just hanging around talking about the movies you saw. And it was just really this super cool experience of finally, one, being able to see the end of this movie that we'd seen 10 years ago, finally being able to see the whole thing, and then actually being able to hang with the guys that did it.
That's
so
awesome.
It was, there were a lot of great things about this year, and starting this podcast was another great thing. But that, you know, if I have to pick like a big highlight for 2012, that would be it.
That's awesome. Okay, so my year was fucking awesome. I really don't even know how to start. So in February, I celebrated my 1 year anniversary at FFG while at New York City Toy Fair. So I got to go to New York City for work, which is amazing. And then in April, I won the amateur show and became a member of the Vilification Tennis Cast. And then we went to festival, and I got to work out at Renaissance Festival, which is the culmination of, like, you know,
a childhood dream.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. So, you know, 26 years of wanting to work out there. So there's that. And then on top of that, then, you know, we started this podcast and Fearless. I've always wanted to have like an actual, like,
you're using your degree,
like an actual,
me too. 20 right? years later,
but also like an actual job. Just, you're just getting to know all these theater people is great.
Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, just like Nick said, like, you know, new car and like raises and, you know, everyone in my family is doing really well.
Everyone's happy and healthy.
And my uncle's cancer is like completely gone. Like, for sure, he's passed his multiple year checkups of that. And
it's
just been like this amazing year of Molly. And just by the time this episode airs, I will tell you, this will be just days after I have hosted my first Vilification Tennis show.
I'm sure that you will do excellent.
Thank you. But so Tim is going to be gone.
I'm going to be in with my relatives in Colorado.
And so he will not be able to host the show. So he asked us on our Vilification Tennis Cast group, like, you know, does anyone want to host a show? And a bunch of people said yes, and I literally said yes as a joke. Like, I did want to, but under no circumstances did I think it would be me. So I kind of
you didn't think,
like,
you were going to get picked.
No.
Yeah, right.
I definitely wanted to, but I didn't think it would get picked.
Yeah.
And to have been picked is awesome, and I'm super excited, and I think it's going to go really well.
And, you know, it was totally nepotism on my part. But no, I am
your amateur. Your first and only.
I know. The only
amateur.
My only coached amateur. Yeah. But it was actually, I mean, there were a lot of things. It was like most of the people who said they'd do it had done it before. I'm like, well, mm-hmm. I want to give more people the opportunity to try and do this role that I've been doing for so long, because I want it to be the sort of thing where we're a troupe where anybody can do.
And you don't have to feel bad about having to leave somewhere and worry.
Right. I don't have to worry about the show. I just know the show's going to do well.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's one of the things that needs to happen for us to grow as a cast.
Sure.
And so it was like, well, I've got all these people who've done it before who said they'll do it. Well, that's great. But, and the other thing is, most of the ones who had done it are guys. And I'm like, I don't want it to look like this role is just a guy's role.
Sure.
Jen and Chris co-hosted once.
Jen and Chris co. It's happened once.
Yeah.
That I've had
but
a woman host the show. But I'm like,
at least
we
three
need
three or four.
Yeah. This show this year I missed, I think, three shows, and it's been men who have hosted it every time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? It's time to have a woman host it. So
other than Eric.
So you're too late. You missed it. It was really funny, right?
It was the funniest, oh my god,
funniest show. I wish
I'd been there.
What I think highlighted your amazing performance as the judge was my performance as an insult and vilifier.
I also enjoyed when you took off your shirt. That was a really great part of the show. Do you remember that?
I remember. It was right after you blew me backstage.
It's true. Do you remember when Salsa jumped off the stage and broke his leg? Do you remember that?
He,
that was crazy,
he
right?
Jumped into the audience. And
he
actually gave Megan Culverhouse a concussion.
That happened. And so if you're listening to it now, you missed a great show.
Get better, Megan. Not you, Salsa.
Yeah, Salsa, yeah. Fuck Salsa.
Salsa, whatever.
He's having a baby anyway.
Yeah. But
his life is over.
Is he having a baby?
Salsa's having a baby?
Do you not listen to his podcast?
No.
No. I haven't had time. Serious. I haven't had time for like.
You're so
like,
behind.
I haven't had time for at least a month.
Well, yeah, he announced on AON like a month. It would be a month ago now.
We used to listen when we commuted together, but now we don't commute together.
And I can't listen to my iPod at all on my car stereo.
Salsa's having a baby. So.
Holy shit.
Well, Riddle's having a baby. I mean, who knows if it's Salsa's?
Yeah. Well.
I just sent them those lift tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Can you ski if you're pregnant?
I'm pretty sure you can.
Holy shit, man. Mazel tov. I feel like an asshole. Yeah, yeah. I need to listen to their podcast
more. No. We've been joking, like,
Salsa probably doesn't listen to ours, so he doesn't know you didn't know.
As the
that's the good thing.
As the year end approaches and the
fuck you, Salsa.
The hosting duties for Molly come up soon.
Yeah.
We've just been joking around the house, like, 2012, the year of Molly.
Yeah, like, because
I had a great year. You had an amazing year.
I had a heretofore unprecedentedly great year.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, it was, anyway. All right, so, New Year's, you know, you think about the time. Like, what are you looking forward to in 2013? Like, what's coming up? And let's not talk about the launch party because I want to talk about that in a minute. But like, what are you looking forward to that's coming up that is, and it can be right away or whatever. But
so I don't I'm not like a resolver. I don't do really New Year's resolutions. But I did use it as an excuse to quit smoking. And this January, 2013, will mark 5 years of not smoking.
Well, for congratulations.
Me. And not even once. Like,
and,
you're
right.
Not even like now and then you did.
Right.
But no.
I had cigars when we went to Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And I had a cigar at my bachelor party, and I had a cigar a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like half of a cigar. But I don't really inhale them, and I don't.
It's not smoking.
Yeah, yeah. And so I smoked from 16 years old to 27 years old, so
you
11.
You were up to a pack a day at one point.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, about that. At my peak, so 11 years of smoking, 5 years of not smoking at this point.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And 5 years.
We should give you a chip.
We should.
It's I don't know. It doesn't seem like a big deal even anymore. Like they don't sound good. They don't smell good. They don't taste good.
I've been totally quit for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's
the worst is The only time I ever want a cigarette is every once in a while I'll walk out of a movie theater in winter and that cold, crisp air hits and I want to stand outside the movie theater and socialize with the people I just saw the movie with while enjoying a cigarette. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a part of the movie-going experience ritual for me.
It's a social thing, not a...
It is.
Yeah.
For me,
it is.
Rush hour traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I'm stuck in rush hour traffic, I just think, yeah, this would be the time. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Because
you have your hands to light...
you can't smoke on a highway because
right.
It's just the wind and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't miss it at all,
really. The other time is I've had dreams where in the dream I had a cigarette... And it was incredibly satisfying, and I felt the nicotine, and I felt like the endorphins or whatever it is. I felt that sweet, sweet cigarette relief, and I woke up still feeling that and like being nostalgic for a cigarette. Those two things have happened very rarely at all in the past 3 years, maybe.
Tim, what are you looking forward to in 2013?
You know, there's a lot of things I could say. I think we're talking about doing a trip to the Black Hills with the kids in May.
Fun.
And Pat and I went to the Black Hills about before the kids were born. We went with a couple of friends. And I love the national parks. I love the national park systems. I've really been trying to get the kids into it. And they have a thing called a junior ranger program. You go to the national park, you do like this activity book, and then they give you a junior ranger badge, which looks just like a regular ranger badge. It says junior ranger, and there's a different one for each park. So we've been working on like getting them
awesome.
From as many different national parks as we can. And there are a ton of national park sites in the Black Hills. I mean, there's a lot of really cool stuff. But
I'm really
hoping that comes through, you know, and we're really trying to watch our money right now. So, but it's pretty inexpensive to go to the Black Hills. It's a driving vacation. We can drive out there, you know, and stay in a relatively inexpensive hotel.
Yeah. I feel like the two vacations for like Minnesota kids that are must, like cheap must goes are Black Hills and like the Badlands and all that.
Yeah.
And then like Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah, you know, in the Wisconsin Dells, we haven't done either. We've got to do that.
You've been to, like, the science stuff and the house in the cliff and all that?
I've been there, but I haven't been there with my kids.
Yeah.
I haven't been there with my kids, so.
Yeah. Those are, like, the two.
Geeks Without God road trip to Wisconsin Dells.
Oh, my God, that'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
Tony Bartlett. All the Tony Bartlett stuff. We'll get cross all that stuff off the list.
Sweet. All right.
I think the thing that I'm looking forward to most is this next season of Renaissance Festival, because as fun as the first season was, you know, the second season, I feel like it's like, okay, Okay, so now I know all this shit. Yeah. And I know, and it's not like this stuff like, oh, I know not to do that, or I know I need to do that. It's more like, now I won't feel new. Now yeah. I know everybody, and I know where to go, and
you
I
know the secret expect, doors. You know how to prepare.
And,
you know
and I've got big ideas, and I'm, yeah. I'm, we're really excited for the next season.
We've got you know some what? Production value stuff to do this
awesome.
Year.
And yeah, you guys yeah. are like super... Yeah, it's awesome. Nerdy really nerdy excited. With your production
we're
stuff.
We're all about excited. It.
You know, I do have to say this for you know, because we're doing memories of 2012
yeah.
and 2012, whatever you want to call it. I don't give a fuck. But here's the thing. Festival memory, and I don't think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. There's an award at the festival called the Lee Walker Award.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know if it's understating to say, really the highest award that
it
we
is,
give an
it
entertainer.
It is literally the highest award that is given.
It's the highest award that an entertainer can get at the festival. Yes. It's an award for somebody who has contributed as an entertainer consistently yeah. for a very long period of time and has also contributed as a leader of other performers at the festival.
Yeah.
Like a pillar of the community.
Like a pillar of the community. Yeah. So I mean, some of the people who have received it are Terry Foy, who plays Zilch the Tory Steller out there, Gary Parker, who's been a hero mm-hmm. of mine for years, just an amazing performer. At 70 years old, he's
he
better.
He's the mechanical man. If you yeah. see the guy with the crazy yeah. jaw, the yeah. wind up, yeah.
He's better he's than things, most any yeah. of us will be at 70. Yeah. At 70, he's better than most any of
he's,
us will be ever.
I've heard people refer to him as like the godfather of the Minnesota Renaissance mm-hmm. Festival.
Yeah. Just an amazing
Tim's received
guy.
The award.
That is true. But the...
Humble brag.
The person who originated Carr Hagerman, who's the artistic director of the festival right now, he originated it. But he's been the rat catcher out at festival and has worked as a performer and as somebody who's tried to develop the festival for years and years and
he
years.
He grew up out there like you did.
Yeah, he grew up there before I did,
yeah.
even. And it was very notable. And Gary Parker, for instance, was one of the people who pointed out that he was somebody who really, really deserved
mm-hmm.
this award, but it's virtually impossible to get it to him.
Yeah,
because he
runs
gives
it
out.
Yeah, he's the director of entertainment.
Yeah, so we had been talking about it for a long time, and we finally figured out how to actually get the award to him this year and
mm-hmm.
have him not know.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and we actually managed.
He
had no fucking
clue.
It
was amazing.
It was the greatest.
We talked to him about it when we had our meeting mm-hmm. and he was like, I heard them saying, he's like, I knew who I thought they were giving it to, so I was just kind of tuning out. But every now and then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right. I don't think that's what that person has done.
That's not describing.
That doesn't describe. I don't know what
yeah.
that is. And then he's like, and I thought about it some more and I was like, well, what the fuck? Wait a minute. And then, like, that's when I realized everyone had turned to look at me, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It was just a great moment because, you know, it's really cool to give it to somebody that deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
It's even cooler
surprise.
To give it to somebody who has no fucking clue
yeah.
they're going to get it.
Yeah, especially because they think someone else is getting it even more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
it
was really good.
You know, the year I got it, I was shocked. I wasn't even going to the award ceremony that year. And I mean, here's the thing. What they learned from that is they really have to get somebody involved because Pat didn't know.
Yeah.
Nobody knew.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't tell anybody.
They inside man.
So I was like, I'm not going to go. And then the Dregs were nominated for Best Musical Act.
Ah.
And I was like, oh, fuck, I got to go.
And that's when they used to tell you what the nominations were.
Yeah. So we knew that we were nominated. And so I was like, well, I got to be there at least that long.
Yeah.
And so I stayed through the whole thing. And it's a good thing I did, or
yeah.
I would not have been there.
That's hilarious.
And I would have missed it. And
oh,
that,
my God.
So, yeah, they learned from that you have to
yeah.
have somebody on the inside who
an
makes
accomplice.
Sure
yeah.
that the individual who's going to get it actually shows up.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So one more. Well, I don't know. I think that there's just one more thing I want to do.
Yeah, we've got about probably about five more minutes.
I would like to talk about so we're not going to do five questions this time because
no.
it's New Year's and.
But can
I,
we do? You know, I wanted to ask one
yeah.
thing before we did that. I know what you're going to talk
yeah.
about. But there's one thing I wanted to do
yeah.
first because it's my thing because I'm a movie guy. Well,
okay.
What's your favorite movie from 2012?
Oh boy.
Favorite movie
from 2012. I think. Just because
you shouldn't have sprung this on
me. Yeah, you shouldn't have sprung it on me because I don't have time
Hobbit.
To talk about the movies.
The Hobbit?
Hobbit?
You liked it that much?
I think so.
Huh.
Every time I try to think of something I didn't like about it, all I can do is think of something else I really liked about it.
Yeah.
I need to see it again.
I think, did you guys see it 24p or 48p?
24.
Yeah, see, 24. I saw it both. We saw it 48p at
yeah.
Bynomathon, and I was not happy with 48p, but I liked it in 24 a lot better. And I liked it a lot. It's not my favorite movie. I did. I feel like The Hobbit is one third of a 9-hour movie, which is not what I felt about Fellowship of the Ring. Mm. Fellowship of the Ring felt like a pretty solid movie in its own right. The Hobbit feels like a 9-hour movie that's cut into three parts. Sure. And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm saying that most of the stuff that I've seen people complain about, like the White Council and stuff like that, is stuff that is going to have a payoff in a later part of the story.
Sure.
But it should have happened where it happened chronologically.
I feel like, and it all of that stuff connects it to Lord of the Rings so perfectly that I feel like it doesn't matter if it doesn't go anywhere in the first movie. It already goes somewhere in later movies that we've already seen.
In movies that fall later chronologically. Also, right. The other thing about Hobbit that I really like is, and I was tweeting about this last night, I fucking love Martin Freeman.
Yeah, perfect.
If anybody, what bugs me a lot about when people talk about Sherlock is everybody talks about Benedict Cumberbatch, and he is fucking awesome, and I don't want to take anything away from Benedict Cumberbatch, but you know what? That show doesn't work without Martin Freeman being the most amazing Watson he can possibly be.
Yeah.
Those two together.
The limp thing and his he does a lot of, and again, like, he played the character in the British office that Jim in the American office. And so he does a lot of that Tim. The very expressive look where it's in response to someone else does something and he has an expressive look.
Yeah.
And he says a lot with his look without
any
words.
And he does it in The Hobbit too.
And he does it in The Hobbit.
And I really honestly feel I'm gonna love the Hobbit films because I feel like Martin Freeman as Bilbo Baggins is perfection.
It's like Ian McKellen as Gandalf.
It's just born
for the role.
Yeah. So because I feel I'm probably going to end up throwing something in the show notes about changing my mind, but because I can't think of anything else. I know there was at least one movie I saw this year that when I left, I was like, that's like the best movie I've seen in 5 years.
It was
Seven Psychopaths. Thank you.
I haven't seen
Seven
that one
Psychopaths.
Yet.
Did you see In Bruges?
Yes.
Everything In Bruges is, but better.
Yeah. Seven Psychopaths.
I love In Bruges.
Probably the best. I would say it's the best movie I've seen in years because it had me laughing, feeling serious emotions, being concerned for people. There was violence. There was witty dialogue. It was
incredibly clever.
The plot, when you get to the end, it's one of those movies that at the end you're like, oh my God. Like, everything just
comes together
in this just fucking,
it's like all the different subplots and all the different strings come together and they are all completed very, very satisfying.
It's not like twists or anything. You're
following the story where it's leading and you're in the moment rather than thinking ahead.
And I'm going to say runner up because the only one I could think of before Nick reminded me of Seven Psychopaths. Runner up is Wanderlust, which we watched at a movie night, but it's hilarious. It's got Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd and a bunch of the people from The State and just very funny, like, hippie movie spoof, like just really funny and silly. And,
it was fun. I was not expecting much out of that movie.
No, you laugh the whole way through from start to finish. It's great.
And it's Seven Psychopaths, I've heard nothing but good stuff about, and I haven't seen it. But
what is yours?
Mine is Chronicle.
This year?
That was this year. It was really early. It was like February.
Oh.
And it's good. Yeah, it was really good. And
second best superhero origin movie.
But what I loved about it was how it used the idea of a found footage film in an interesting way. Because you know, what it did was it gave a reason for the footage to exist in the way it created its central character.
Yeah.
And once you understood why is this central character obsessed with taping his own life, then it starts to have even more of an impact on what's going on with him psychologically as the movie progresses.
They're doing another one, a sequel.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's almost too bad because I really felt like it was done.
I think so too. With found footage, there shouldn't be a sequel.
See, it's like, I said my second favorite superhero origin story. My favorite is Unbreakable.
Oh, I love Unbreakable.
And I feel like you could never do a sequel to Unbreakable. There shouldn't be a sequel to Unbreakable because the rest of the story is he's a fucking superhero.
And he's got a nemesis.
Right, and he has a nemesis.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. Everything else is fucking comic books. We've all seen that a lot.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a comic book series of those characters.
Sure.
But I don't need another movie.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
And Chronicle,
I'm the same with Chronicle.
I don't feel like it needs
I'm gonna
to
watch
say,
the sequel.
I'll go, oh, I'll watch this.
I'm going
like
to see that shit.
I like to imagine what he goes and does, but not be seen. Because
it's
not seeing
an infinite world of like, yeah possibilities.
And because the movie itself isn't about the kid at the end. It's about the other kid, and I don't want to spoil it too much.
Why
I just
why
want
it becomes
to,
the way it becomes.
You know,
right.
The thing I liked about it, it's a very mature film, but it's PG-13, and I took Alex, my older son, to it, and he really liked it.
Yeah, I
true.
And it's just, it's a better film than it had any right to be.
I agree with that.
I saw a lot of good films. I fucking love The Avengers. I love Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
I love The Hobbit.
Cabin in the Woods.
Chronicle
is
the one that it's like, that's the one that I'm like, if there's a movie from this year that I want to give to people that I want to say, here, you should watch this.
Yeah.
Chronicle is the movie
that people missed.
If there's a movie, just real quick, if there's a movie that I think they got overlooked and that people probably didn't see that they should have because it was really funny, it was 21 Jump Street. That movie
was
fucking
funny as shit.
Hilarious. And
the drug scenes were so funny.
Channing Tatum, if you think Channing Tatum was just a hot guy or just a hot guy that can dance,
he's charming as hell.
He's a great comedic actor.
Yes.
And he plays things with so much heart and sincerity that it really just does him really well. It does him really well. It's the same reason that like Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill like have a career is because they do it with sincerity and heart and
kind of
commitment to the bits.
Yeah, I wanted to see that movie and I haven't spent,
It's quite good.
Yeah.
It's
very
funny.
If we, next time,
if you ever come to movie night and get
I hope, So, okay, so what I want to talk about, since it's the end of this, what I want to talk about is the Fearless Launch Party.
Fearless Launch Party!
So we're talking about Fearless. Fearless Comedy Productions. If you haven't liked them on Facebook yet, god damn you. Go like them.
Just damn you, I guess.
But so, okay.
To not hell.
If you live in the area or can get to the St. Paul, Minneapolis metropolitan area, on January 12th, Saturday, we are having our launch party. It's going to be at the Amsterdam Bar and Hall, which is in St. Paul. It's going to be from 6 p.m. to midnight. We have an amazing lineup. You can't even believe it. All of the Fearless partners.
Including us.
We're going to record live.
We're recording live with Eric McEwen from the Mustache Rangers.
Yeah.
On top of that, we're going to have performances by Courtney McLean and the Dirty Curls, who do this hilarious naughty Billy. A $50 pyramid with Ian Rands, who is also a Fearless partner.
Chance to win some money.
PowerPoint Karaoke, presented by Theater Arlo. And PowerPoint Karaoke, you may have seen, Nick and I both did performances. You can get online. We can link to those.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
And Tim has judged it, and he has done it many times before.
I love PowerPoint Karaoke.
It's some of the most fun I've had on stage in a while.
If you know Joseph Scrimshaw, local celebrity Joseph Scrimshaw, is going to be doing his Obsessed podcast, which is where he gets geeks together who talk about what their obsession is. It's usually very weird. And then, apropos of nothing.
Someday I'm going to be on the Obsessed podcast.
And you're going to talk about Indiana Jones.
I am going to talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah.
Apropos of nothing, which Salsa, Matt, and Jenna have, which is another partner of Fearless, they are going to be doing cocktail creations.
Because they have themed drinks for their podcast.
Silent auction, all kinds of amazing stuff at the silent
auction.
There's
some really cool stuff in the silent
auction. We have knitted bits, we have, ceramic things, we have all kinds
of
custom
corset. You'll have a chance to bid on being a guest on the Geeks Without God podcast.
That is correct.
That's right.
You can be a guest on our podcast.
Long as you spend enough money.
Yep, it's true. So,
show us how much you love us with money.
It's hosted by comedian Bill Young, who's Jenna's husband, stand-up guy, hilarious, the lovely and talented.
Do you mean stand-up guy or, like, stand-up
guy? A
guy
who does stand-up.
Stand-up guy.
Okay.
There's raffles, prizes, and so the suggested donation for entry is $20.
For 6 hours of entertainment.
If you can't afford $20, give us $5. We will take. Yeah.
We just want you there. We just want you there. And,
this is a fundraiser for us to get our production company off the ground.
We'll be using your money to do more funny
comedy.
More comedy.
And we got shows coming up. I've got a show called Big Fun Radio Fun Time.
Yep.
I mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast. That's going to be the 18th of January is going to be our first show.
Oh,
awesome.
I've read or written the scripts, and they're really awesome. I think there's going to be a few other things that are involved that haven't been announced with that show. I think Jeffrey Brown and myself from the Dregs might write a song that we're going to perform there.
There's going to be a lot of really great stuff. And if you guys can come out, we'd love to meet you. We'd love to meet our fans. We especially love it when you guys come up and tell us, we've had it happen a couple times at Festival and Convergence. People come up and they're like, oh, hey, it's you guys.
We'll have stickers.
Yes, well,
we'd stickers. Like to believe that we have fans. That's the thing.
Yes, we do like to think that we have fans.
We need the validation really bad.
Just, we do this for the ego boost. I think it's true. Important.
I thought I did it for the money.
Wrong.
Man,
you
know,
speaking of money, doesn't our Camp Quest donation thing end today?
No. Yes, it does. Today's New Year's Day. You're right. It is today.
We raised $100,000.
Yay!
Yeah. No, I don't.
Thanks.
I don't know how much we raised, but
we are over halfway to our goal as we're recording.
As of recording right now, we are at $310. We've been stuck there for a while, so I'm hoping.
Even if we have reached our goal by the time this podcast airs, we're going to say, please donate. Yeah. This is probably a really good cause.
Well, yeah. So, you can always go to campquest.org or cqminnesota.org to donate specifically to the Minnesota branch. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we hope that you guys all have an amazing 2013.
Have a fearless new year.
Please come and celebrate with us.
Please do.
We'd love to meet you if you listen to our podcast. Thank you so much
for listening this whole year, you guys. And if you're listening now, you're one of the people that you're going to be able to say that you got in it right at the beginning.
Got into Geeks Without God at the ground
floor. You remember when they coined the term geeky boner. You remember. You were there, man.
You were there for the first geeky boner. You were there for the geeky semi.
We totally didn't talk about atheism at all this entire time.
Whatever.
Podcast.
It's the new year.
We don't believe in God.
Yeah,
okay.
We don't believe in God, fuckers. So, all right. Here's the thing. So we have our five questions. You may be familiar with them. You may not be. If you're not familiar with them, go listen to other podcasts. What's wrong with you? I do not know what they are. But you can send them in to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. You can also email any of us at any time about anything you want at Molly, Tim, or Nick at geekswithoutgod.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and all that shit. Thanks, guys.
Have a good 2013.
Happy 2013.
Happy 2013.
Oh, fuck you, Nick. Geeks Without God is proudly partnered with Fearless Comedy Productions.
We're geeks without God. God, we don't recognize moral authority, we don't accept divine superiority, we're geeks without God.
Listen to past podcasts and catch us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. Follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod and like our Facebook page, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
I knew he was going to do that right at the end.